It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are once again caught inside the studio on the most glorious Saturday morning ever. So if you're out enjoying it, keep your radio on. No reason to miss the show. But if anybody does, you know that you can always get our past shows on our website, VanWeeFinancial.com. And they get posted, what, Mondays or Tuesdays?
Mondays, usually Monday mornings. And they're also available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Podcasts. Wherever you get your podcasts, it's probably there.
Yes. In other words, there is absolutely no reason to ever miss a show.
That is correct.
It's never as much fun as it is live, which is the reason we continue to do a live show rather than just podcasting. Because, let's face it, when people call and want to answer to a question, then they want it now, not next week.
Mm-hmm.
Although we will do next week if you email it in because you're shy. But there's no reason to be. I can't remember in my 20 plus years of radio cutting more than two or three heads off of people. Very rare.
Hmm.
Yeah, usually we're pretty nice. So anyway, those of you who are new to the show, stick around for the hour. And of course, can't forget all of the regulars who've made this possible. We're now into our ninth year, and it has been nothing but a lot of fun. There have been exactly four Saturdays when we were not here live. That's it. Two were holidays, major ones, and two we were evacuated for hurricanes, and the station wasn't on. So, you know, you listen to some of the other shows around, you know how many of them are live, how seldom, and how many of them are never live, but you can always count on us to be here. And you can also count on the fact that if you pick up the phone and dial 904-222-8255, you will be put on virtually immediately. Because you are the priority. Otherwise, we'll just sit here and talk about the things we want to, except for one thing. And that's when we have to talk about something that we'd rather not talk about. And that would be this week in the market.
Yeah, not a good one.
No.
It was pretty ugly. All brought to you by, I'll give you one guess.
Inflation.
Fear of the Fed, yep. Inflation, all of that. This week left us at a crossroads. And it's just been the case for all of 2022 and then the couple months of 2023. There's just all sorts of conflicting signs in the economy and all sorts of uncertainty. It was a 3% fall during the week, and all the major indexes are now poised for next week to either fall off a cliff or rebound solidly. And I wouldn't even guess
flip a coin
which one it's going to be. They're all basically dropped down to their moving averages right at support levels, and I just honestly don't know which way it's going to go. It was looking so good a couple weeks ago, and now, who knows?
Well, the problem, as I see it, is all these experts that say inflation's falling at X pace, so they put the number out, and when it doesn't fall that fast, and it is falling,
yeah,
but
for
it's
sure.
Not falling as fast as they want it to. If they would just live like the rest of us live and realize that it's a slow process, then maybe we would match expectations. But something like 29 out of 30 times, they have missed their forecast for inflation. And only on those 29 times, they've always been underneath the real number.
Yep.
Wouldn't you think they would learn?
You would think, but you would be wrong.
You'd be wrong.
Yes. So it really comes down to what's going to drive the market next week. Will it be fear, or will it be more rational, okay, this is taking longer than we thought, but that's okay. I don't know. I really don't know.
I'm not going to guess.
The market is currently pricing in a 73% chance of a 25 basis point rate hike in March, but also placing a 27% chance of a 50 basis point rate hike. And honestly, I think that 27% chance is way too high. I really don't think they're going to do that.
No.
That would be a disaster for equities. There are still a few very, very, very hawkish Fed chairs that want that, but they're the usual suspects.
Yeah,
it's not
exactly.
They're always the ones doing that.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, they think that they must destroy the economy. But that happens even when everyone else is on the opposite side. So I don't know. I don't really see it being a 50 basis point hike. I think that would be very, very surprising. And the fact the market's pricing it in tells me that if the market starts swinging back towards 25 basis points, you're going to see at least a mini rally
when that happens. That's reasonable. And then what if they do 50? Well,
it would not be good. It would not be good.
It would be ugly as sin out there.
Yep. So as always, with the increased fear of more rate hikes comes higher yields on treasuries. Both the 6-month and the 1-year are now yielding over 5%. Well, the 10-year started the week around 3.8% and ended the week just under 4%. This means that the yield curve is still deeply inverted, more so than at any other time since the early 1980s. This increase in yields has also reversed the decline in the U.S. dollar, which is now surging again. So,
darn it.
That's not fun. Well, that's one of those good news, bad news things as well.
Depends what kind of business you're in.
Right. Stock declines this week were not limited to the U.S. as international markets sold off and are now testing uptrends as well. European equities, which recently made 52-week highs, are now sitting right on the lower limit of their uptrend. Australia actually traded down through their uptrend line in what appears to be a bearish pattern. Commodities have also joined on this trend of selling off, recently making 52-week lows on the commodities index. At least that is a potentially positive sign for inflation, so there's that. But if you're invested in commodities, not a great week for you, probably. Despite the sell-off this week, earnings season came to an unofficial close, and when Walmart reported, that's usually sort of marks the unofficial close. About 1,300 companies have reported, and there are a few more, but that's the bulk of it. And honestly, it wasn't too bad. The earnings per share beat rate actually rose from 64.6% last quarter to 65.5% this quarter, which is in the top 78% of all quarters. The revenue beat rate dropped down to 64% this quarter, but that's also better than 78% of all quarters. The percent of companies raising forward guidance this season was 7.8%, which was the lowest since COVID hit. The good news is that the percentage of companies that lowered guidance dropped from 13.9% last quarter to 10.9% this quarter. Despite that drop, 10.9% is still a pretty big number, could signal some more weakness throughout this year. So, once again, good news, bad news.
And more layoffs announced again this week.
Who was that?
I can't remember which one. Another tech outfit. Mm-hmm. I knew it early in the week, but I didn't write it down.
Okay.
But my point is simply that tech, even though the NASDAQ has been looking better, tech is still very iffy out there.
It's struggling.
Yeah.
It's the worst looking chart of the major indexes as well. Lately, bad economic news has been good for the market, so it makes sense that we would see more beats than misses this week. It's really weird, but I think there were only eight of 25 different economic indicators missed this week. So the trend lately has been for more misses than beats, but not this week. And of course, we get all this good economic news and the market tanks.
Yeah, and it's a big week for economic data next week too, which means that the transition from February to March is going to be a very interesting time period for everybody. We'll keep you posted after it happens, but I don't see either of us willing to stick our necks out with much of a prediction, except buckle up because it'll be a little rough.
It's going to be volatile.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, we got to pay some bills, so we'll take a little break, come back with the trivia questions as usual, and then we can hit the phones, whatever you want to talk about. So don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have today a trivia question, as usual, brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. A little off-the-wall question today because a little off-the-wall thing caught my eye. What unusual item was recently deemed to be financial advice? And I mean that in the legal sense. We are in the financial advice business. We give advice. We're registered to give that advice. We're licensed to give that advice. What unusual thing was deemed to be financial advice? Like I said, a little off the wall today, but it's a good day for it because it's so nice outside. Everybody's happy. All right, a little wrap up on the market this week, and then we'll try to get on to something even more fun.
really more on some economic news. I wanted to just touch on a few things. I don't think it will surprise anyone that the housing market showed mixed signals this week. Existing home sales and mortgage applications both came in below expectations, but new home sales crushed expectations. So what do you take away from that? Well, newer homes are sometimes easier to sell in a tough market because builders can use tricks like buying down interest rates for buyers to make mortgage for they'll actually buy down the people purchasing the homes interest rates. So they'll promise you a 5% rate or a 4.5% rate. I saw a 4.99% rate being advertised. And how do they do that? They actually pay money to the mortgage company to buy down that rate for the buyer. But it's kind of a trick because it makes mortgages more affordable for the buyer, but it also keeps their prices up. So they can still sell you a home at the going rate without discounting it while making your mortgage more affordable at the same time. So a pretty good trick that they use to make new homes seem more affordable in a market that's not as hot as it was 6 months ago.
Yeah, and whenever rates are high, the one thing you'll be sure of is that in your lifetime, you will see rates higher and you will see rates lower. So if you can buy some time getting into something with an apparently lower rate, then it's the old bird in the hand thing.
Yeah.
Might as well take it.
I don't blame buyers for taking advantage of those kind of deals, but just be aware that you're not paying too much for the house.
Exactly.
And because it can, over time, it will hurt you to pay that higher price when you could have got a better deal on a used home, mm-hmm. even with a higher interest rate that you could refinance in the future. So do the math, work with a realtor, and be careful in this market.
Yeah, unfortunately for an individual, the only way that you can compete is to lower the price of your house. And this whole thing, even though rates are today much more along the lines of the
normal
average, long-term average, and there's so many... We've been talking about the good news and all this interest rate over and over and over. The risk-free rate now is back up to where you do at least get to consider options for trading in your riskier investments for some that are going to pay you without the possibility of losing a whole bunch of money.
Yep.
If you're older, there's two kinds of people in the world. There are lenders and there are borrowers, easy for me to say. It depends where you are. If you're a borrower, of course you want lower rates. But if you're a lender, meaning someone whose savings are in excess of debt, then of course you want the rates higher. So this was one time when there really are winners and losers to these things.
Yeah.
That doesn't always happen. You know, in the big economic picture, you always look at guys like Bernie. Said these guys are nuts. They try to tell you that if you get something, you did it at someone else's expense, and that's not true if you're growing the pie. Well, when it comes to things like the mortgage rates, then there are definitely winners and losers, and that is the truth. Anyway.
Yeah, last thing, jobless claims continue to run below expectations. Very
that's another low confusing number.
Very low levels, dropping to 192,000 this week. Personal spending beat expectations, increasing by 1.8% month over month, showing rebound for consumers after a really lackluster holiday season. But just because it's 2023, there had to be a contrarian number to this, and it was that personal consumption number, which showed a quarter-over-quarter increase of 1.4%, but the expectation was for 2%. So well below. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
If you're an amateur economist, you're confused right now. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Van Wees. You guys are the best. I went to a couple big pension trust fund meetings a while back, and, we'll see what the next quarter brings. But, you and I, you guys and myself, 40, 50, 60 years ago, we never thought of starting a armament or a production military company because we'd probably be billionaires, but by the end of the next couple of years, we'd be hundreds of billionaires, the three of us.
No kidding.
And I'll tell you, it just a sad thing that what we do with our money in the Treasury Department. I'm going to keep it short because I'm about to get to the boatyard, and I will cruise on the St. John's very slow with our 19-ton rowboat and think
just
about you guys. And,
just
and I always
rubbing it in because we're sitting in here, aren't you? On this beautiful
well,
day.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because I forgot. My captain was going to come and take it out, and he says, I know you don't entertain anymore since your parents and all the elders passed, but you want to go for a ride? I said, you let me crank it up when we're in the regular wake zone? He said, yeah. I said, and that's E71 Detroit Diesels. You can pull 10 skiers behind it once it gets going. And of course, when you slow up, you got a tugboat swell. So when that jet ski or that fancy cigarette boat tries to gun it, you just slow up more and you give them like a 12 to 14 foot swell. And if they don't know how to drive, they can't get over it the first time. But
just
anyway,
think about us. Yeah, think about us when you crank up that big Detroit diesel, because I made a lot of parts that are on the inside of that thing.
I'll tell you what, Detroit Diesel Allison and the old one, this is a 1964 mint condition.
Wow.
And you can eat off the bilge. My relatives take care of all that stuff. They're in the diesel business. But nice. We'll think about you. Maybe one day we'll get you guys out. Hey, I'm so glad. Angela took sabbatical, your previous 9 to 10 today on real estate. And I'm glad you guys didn't take sabbatical, because then I would have been old for three. You guys are like top number one. So that's two there. And Angela's one and her help. But and from what I know, Howard's doing well in South Central Florida.
Yep.
And he's enjoying life. So that's a good thing. Hey, keep on keeping on. And I hope you guys never retire. Not per se, as far as go off the air, you know.
Well, you can count on us, I think.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah,
good for
you guys.
Got a few years left in us.
I can count on you better than some of my officials here in Clay County, believe me. And I mean, that's a good tip, okay? Take care and keep on keeping on, okay?
Thanks
for the call.
Bye-bye.
In case Phil's got his radio on now, ask your friends about the fuel injection rack control levers in your diesel. I made them. Good morning, Lane.
Good morning.
How are you?
Hey, is this the Van Reef Financial Market wine line?
Yes, that would work.
That's where we come to wine.
Yeah, well, that's where we do it.
Let's talk CDs.
Yep.
So I started poking around just to see what rates are doing, and the banks are horrible. One of them was still 1%, I guess 2%-ish.
In a CD?
For a jumbo. CDs.
Oh,
and
stay away from that.
No,
that's
kidding.
Awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was poking around credit unions, and one is like 5% APY.
Yeah.
Which I thought was decent.
Yep.
But mine's still hovering around 3.6.
I wouldn't.
Decent, that's like 60 months.
That's not good.
What do you think is a minimum threshold your listeners ought to consider for moving into CDs?
Yeah, great question, Lane. I actually was going to talk about this in a little bit, but I'll talk about it right now. I have a list of from www.depositaccounts.com of high-yield savings accounts. And the top one from earlier this week was paying 4.53%. And the top one with any kind of name recognition, some of these are pretty obscure. I probably wouldn't put my money there.
Well, just because it's called fly-by-night CDs.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know why you'd be.
The high I found was the, get this, it's brand new, the All-In Credit Union.
Ooh.
Okay.
Who came up with that name?
Yeah, I don't know. How much was that one?
That was the 5% APY.
Oh, CDs. But these are just high-yield savings accounts, so completely liquid.
Totally liquid, yeah.
No lockup period whatsoever. Betterment, they're actually known for being a big robo-advisor, but they're a pretty strong financial outfit. They have a 4% high-yield savings account And I would trust them with my money. So that's that's pretty good. So I would say the minimum hurdle is at least above 4%, because if you can get that in a high yield savings account, if you're going to lock up your money, you should get a premium on it for the time value.
I agree.
Yes, and sir. Can you quickly repeat the website, deposit?
Sure.
Yes, it's depositaccounts.com.
Thank you so much.
As a trivia, Lane, as a trivia buff, you want to take a shot at the question?
I'm sorry, I missed it.
Okay, well, what unusual thing was declared to be financial advice?
Oh, that's right, that's right, that's right. I don't know, White House press briefings?
Good try.
That would be bad financial advice. All right, take care. We'll talk to you soon. We got to take a break. We'll be right back, and we'll go into more of this stuff. This is the Banwe Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Banwe Financial Hour. I'm Steve Banwe.
And I'm Adam Banwe.
And a little bird just told me that we are going back to the phones. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you this morning?
Great. Ron from St. Mary's, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and I'll bet you're interested in trivia.
I got this one nailed. This was way too easy.
Not for some people. Let's see if you're right before we congratulate you.
You got to be a little on the older side, though. You wouldn't remember this if you were probably under the age of 60. I'm going to say it's the magic eight ball that you used to put on your desk.
bottom. I love your answer better than the real one.
That is a good answer. I like it.
It's as good as the other guess would have been Jim Cramer's advice.
Ooh.
Are they going to actually legalize him?
Yeah. And there's one more. You probably don't know about this one, but Adam gave me a Christmas present this year, and it's the equivalent of the magic eight ball, but it's Donald Trump.
You
wave your hand over it, ask it a question, wave your hand over it, and you get a reply from Trump in his own voice.
Oh, man. I got to find that. That's awesome.
It is. I'm sure if you Google it, it'll point. Oh, don't Google it. DuckDuckGo it.
It was pretty funny,
Between you and me, if I were to take Jim Cramer's advice or the Magic 8-Ball, I'm going with the Magic 8-Ball every time.
And you'll do better, in my humble opinion.
Yes. I can't sleep at night thinking of all the millions I could have made just by going against everything he recommends.
No kidding. We appreciate it. Thanks for adding some needed levity.
Bring a little humor to the show, and I'll let you get back to serious business.
There's never a time when humor won't improve the outlook, right?
I appreciate it. My wife doesn't think I'm funny, but as long as I do, that's really all that
that's
matters.
That's what matters.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Take care.
You too, guys. Thanks again.
Bye. Actually, that answer and the actual answer are about the same level of seriousness, I think. Is that fair?
I would say that's extremely fair.
Yeah.
President Predicto, my research department.
That's right. That's what it was called.
Okay.
Yeah,
I couldn't remember the name of it.
I couldn't either.
I love it.
It was just something I saw, and I, for some reason, I thought of you.
I can't imagine. You know, I always alert out there on the airwaves, you know.
I wanted to do a quick touch on the mayor's race that's coming up in Jacksonville. Let's see here. So early voting, there's 19 early voting sites. That goes from March 6th through 19th. So coming up here pretty soon. And
that's tournament week, too, so plan your
part of it is not all of it.
Yeah, right.
It goes to the 19th.
But plan your trips accordingly.
Plenty of days to get out and vote. So don't let any excuse get in your way. And I just read that even Republicans are going to try and convince their people to vote early now. Finally,
actually, Trump is all over that.
Finally,
ballot harvesting, early voting.
Unbelievable that it took us this long to figure it out.
But I'll tell you, I've never voted in Duval County. I imagine it's very similar because we know a little bit about the people who run it, and it always seems very up and up. But in St. Johns County, I have never worried for one quarter of a second that my vote wasn't being counted, tabulated, and recorded the right way, and that it would be tallied.
No,
I never, ever think about it.
I always early vote at the Beaches Library branch, and it is extremely efficient and easy. I rarely have to wait at all.
Yeah, it's like ours.
It's a really good system. And
unless you enjoy standing around and talking to the people for 2, 3, 4, 5 hours on election day, and I know some people do.
Some people do, yeah.
Then vote that way. But if your personal interest is to get counted and make darn sure you don't miss it, take advantage of the early voting. It is not an issue in the state of Florida.
If you want to vote on Election Day, it's March 21st, and polls are open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. So, and that, you have to go to your actual election site. It is not like early voting where you can go to any site. So let's talk a little bit about the race. It is a pretty crowded field. There's 7 people running. There are really 2 notable Democrats. Those are the only 2 Democrats that are registered. The really only one when it comes down to it, Donna Deegan, who has failed to get elected most recently for the congressional seat for Northeast Florida. She lost to the incumbent, who is the old sheriff, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So now she's running for mayor. She is polling at about 37%, which is actually the highest of all the people running. But a lot of that has to do with a very divided Republican side of the ticket that has 4 contenders. The one with the name recognition probably is Al Ferraro. I hope I said that right.
Ferraro. He pronounces it on his commercials.
Excuse me about that.
Where I come from, they were Ferraros, and there were a lot of them.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking of when I said that. But he, I believe, was a city council member. But really, the 2 front runners are considered Leanna Gutierrez Cumber and Daniel Davis. I hope I pronounced that right. Daniel Davis, I believe, has the most money backing him. And
you always wonder with a name like Davis in Jacksonville.
He's even,
that's a good name,
way higher than Donna Deegan, who has the name recognition. So I think he's raised about $3 million is what I read. And I think he's been involved with the Chamber of Commerce and some other local government like entities. I think he's probably going to secure the way it works is all 7 contenders will be on the ticket when you go to vote. You can vote Democrat or Republican. It is not a primary. It is a general election. But if no one gets 50% of the vote on the first round, which is highly likely when there's 7 candidates, the top 2 will show down in another election.
Is that a jungle primary? In other words, it's not the top 1 Democrat and 1 Republican, or
that's
whatever?
A good question. I think it is actually, but I know that one candidate has to get 50% of the vote, so they will narrow it down to 2.
It's not
and
likely.
Most likely, I think it will be Daniel Davis versus Donna Deegan, and then you'll probably see the actual numbers Republican versus Democrat.
Well, yeah, as I mentioned last week, she's got 37%, which means 63% are never Deegans.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. It's also when you do local polls like that, there can be a larger percentage error. In fact, I think back to the local city representative had Michelle, I think her name was. She wasn't even really in contention. And then she got a late endorsement from Ron DeSantis and won in a landslide. And Chet Stokes was leading with like 40% of the support in the poll, and then he lost. I mean, I don't even think he cleared like 10%. So
really,
yeah, it was. So these kind of things are changed very quickly, and the numbers are not that reliable. So, but anyway, the message is get out and vote. Do your research on the candidates, and then get out and vote regardless of who you plan on voting for.
All right, as long as you're in PSA mode, why don't you talk a little bit about the upcoming golf tournament?
Yes. So the Joe Strong Jacksonville Golf Tournament. Joe Strong is an organization started by some friends of ours who lost their son to leukemia in 2019. And very, very sad story. He fought for a long time. They thought they had a chance to have it beat. And then it turned out he had an even worse form than what they originally had thought. So we sponsor their foundation, and they are doing their third annual golf tournament. It is always a great time. It will be on May 7th at Queens Harbor Yacht and Country Club. It's been there every year. It's a great golf course. It is a great event. There's tons of great prizes that you can win. Last year, I think I bought $20 worth of raffle tickets and walked away with, I don't know, $200 worth of goods. So there's a good chance that you can win. Registration is limited. It sold out last year, sold out the year before. So it's going to sell out again this year. And there's an early bird discount if you sign up before in the next month or so. So get out there and sign up. Go to joestrong.org and come out and join us for the Golf Classic.
Cool. Well, since we've only got a few seconds until the break, I've got another little piece of humor. This is a segment with some humor in it. This is not a funny article. It's about Democrats trying to save Social Security by taxing the rich and on and on and on. So they're talking about drug plans and the whole thing. But this is the best beginning to a sentence I have ever read. And it's on the second page. It says, on drugs, Manchin and Schumer agreed. There was an end to the sentence, but I can't get past it because I'm always laughing by then. All right, well, we'll get serious again in a few seconds after we pay some bills. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And the trivia question is still open. Use of what unusual thing, object, was recently decided in a court of law to constitute financial advice? And it's not the Magic 8 Ball or President Predicto. What was the third one that came up?
I can't remember.
No, it's actually none of those. As like I said, I actually liked Ron's answer better than the real one. Now, the main problem, I think, from just a day-to-day standpoint for the average American, the number one problem facing us right now is inflation. And inflation is a solvable problem. It can be solved in one of two ways. Fed policy, and that's, of course, what's going on in the absence of any other. And you all know my feelings about the Fed. I've never been complimentary, and I never will be.
You don't want to start now?
I don't want to start now.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell you something. They're doing what they are charged with doing because they are the ones that have been charged with reducing inflation. And that means raising interest rates to stymie the demand. Economists call it demand destruction. They don't want you out spending all that money. In fact, I heard this morning some idiot somewhere around the world has decided that we all need to go on food rations like in the war.
I saw that.
You can't make this stuff up.
Nope, you cannot.
I like to think that I'm very creative in respects like that, and I couldn't make that stuff up. So anyway, the other method of doing it is the right way, and that's called the policy made by the administration in Washington, D.C. Bad policy begets bad results. Good policy begets good results, which is why when Trump left office, he handed over under 2%, about 1.4% inflation rate, and gasoline at $2.37. It's now a dollar higher than that. All it would take to get it started is to unleash the power of the energy industry in this country, and everything would begin to change immediately. Well, that's really probably not going to happen with this administration. So it looks to me like we're going to be fighting this for a long time to come. And there's not a darn thing we can do about it except vote better next time and keep in touch with your House members who can put a kibosh to a lot of things. I know today's the first day of year two of the war in Ukraine, and as Walter Cronkite used to say, the war in Ukraine rages on. Are we going to dump another $100+ billion over there for nothing?
I would say almost certainly.
And it's things like that. There's the spending. If you see the next 10-year projection by this administration is deficits of over $1.9 trillion every year. What is that all about? We've got to fix something. sometime in there. And I'm not going to tell you that I would know how to do it, but I could sure get it started. Anyway, another thing that bothers me, and a lot of things about what's going on now do bother me. This is an article that was in Yahoo Finance, which is always good for a laugh, if nothing else. How do rich people avoid paying taxes up to the tune of $160 billion a year in tax payments? In order to understand what this is all about, you have to make an assumption that every penny of money belongs to the government except the ones they let you keep. Because you can't make these assumptions any other way. In fact, only in a place like Washington, D.C., would you hear a term like tax expenditures. You know what those are, people? If they allow you to keep some of your money, that's a tax expenditure. Because they start at 100%, and then what they let you keep is called a tax expenditure to them. So according to them, the top 1% avoids paying their fair share. You always got to consider the source when you hear that term. And they say it's $160 billion a year is lost every year because of the 1%. And if they would just pay their fair share, they'd get a lot of it back. Well, the 1% pays 38.8% of all the income taxes collected, which would be absolutely okay with me if they made 38.8% of the income in the country, but they don't. They make 20% of the income and pay 38.8% of the taxes. I don't think it's going to help very much to raise those taxes over and over and over again when you're trying to pick up $1.9 trillion a year. Far better to change the spending. But now what they claim, here's how the rich people avoid paying their fair share. One of them, foundations. Well, foundations are part of the, you ready for this? U.S. tax code that they all passed. They are perfectly legal. And not only that, what a foundation does is it promotes charity because the people who put the money in the foundations meant to last for a long time. And every year they have to identify recipients of their gifting through the foundation. And that can only help society as I see it. Another one, they avoid paying taxes by gifting because they can give anybody they want to $17,000 and they've got a lifetime maximum. So apparently, instead of giving gifts to anybody, you're supposed to pay it all in taxes to the government. Another one, family offices. This is something that large families with lots and lots and lots of money do so that they organize themselves more or less as a business and they get some basic business write-offs for that. Gee, who'd have thought? Investments. They have these things called capital gains taxes and that sort of thing, which are, ready for this, part of the U.S. tax code. Also, this is one of my very favorites. The rich people avoid paying their taxes by moving from one state to another.
That highly illegal thing to do.
Can you imagine that these people have the audacity to say that rich people who are moving to Florida are avoiding their taxes illegally? No, because it's part of the Constitution of the United States that people have the right to live wherever they want to. You just can't make it up. It's so alien to me that something like this would even be published. It wouldn't have been back when I was young, apparently. But then they list these states that are obviously in conjunction with the rich people ruining our budget. Alaska, Florida, Nevada, New Hampshire, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Washington, and Wyoming do not have state income taxes.
How evil is that?
I don't know what those people are thinking. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning. It sounds like Florida is a state for tax dodgers.
Yeah, we should change the signs. Welcome to Florida, home of tax dodgers. Love it. What's
come
happening?
Here and evade, come here and evade your fair share.
Exactly.
And I wanted to take a stab at the question.
Well, please do.
And thanks to the many resources out in the universe, I'm going to say that it's emojis.
Well, you're going to say right, because it is. There are three in particular, as you probably know, having done some research. One of them is the rocket ship. That's a real common thing. And, it, of course, it's headed up. And the other one right. is a massive bag of money in the old-fashioned money bag style with a dollar sign on it. And the other one is a symbol we've all seen forever and ever. It's a graph paper with a red line that goes up and then down a little, and then a pointer goes up again. And all of those now have been ruled by a federal court to constitute financial advice. Why is that important? Well, if you are giving financial advice, you have to act as a fiduciary. Adam and I are fiduciaries, always have been, always will be. But now, people who are not and who like to use those things to pretty up their emails or anything, if this stands, and neither Adam nor I believes it will actually stand, but anybody who's using that now better be darn careful, or they could get sued for not taking the fiduciary responsibility. It's amazing, isn't it?
Nope. I don't think it'll stand either.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, honestly.
But right, have we got Greg's address and stuff?
Just let him get it.
Okay. I'm going to put you on hold and let Tom get it, and we'll talk to you soon because it's running out. Thanks for the call. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can't make some things up, as I've been saying quite a bit lately, and that's certainly one of them. So a little humor today. I appreciate everybody who called in, and we look forward to seeing you next week. This is the Banway Financial Hour.